Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Yeah, up that first two, yeah. I mean, then he settled down and, you know, his pitch count was relatively low. And, didn't know that he's run out of gas. I mean, there we were victimized by the home run ball. I mean, almost every day, you know, they're hitting the balls out of the ballpark on us, especially Miller. Like, he really killed us this series. You know, usually when we lose the series, there's one guy that's throwing our side, and he was a thorn. This series.
The audition continues on ESPN 97.5. Listen as these guys suck up to Dell for a chance at stardom. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Dell and today's suck up, Josh Beard.
That was a non-suck up, Dusty Baker talking about Brandon Belak, who gave up a two-run home run in the first to Willie Adames and kind of settled down and cruised into the seventh, and then it wasn't immediately the half inning after the Astros blew a chance to get back in the game, but it happened in relatively short order after that. 6 2/3 for him, not a bad outing, but the home run did kill him. Gave up 2 1-run shots in the seventh to kind of end his afternoon, but pitched pretty well. Sure, the homers were big, but at that point, I didn't have any faith the Astros were going to score. But this has happened in two consecutive games where the Astros were up or down 2-0, had a shot in the sixth to get back in it, did not. And then the floodgates opened.
Yeah. And look, every time Brandon Belak pitches, I'm always afraid that there's going to be moments like that. He's not necessarily an up and down pitcher. He's pretty consistent across the board, but there's always going to be a couple of moments within his starts, within his games, where he's going to give up a couple of runs. He's going to either give up a big hit or he's going to give up a home run. And the fact that you have him in there with no run support just makes it so much harder for him. And so I'm not surprised that it happened. But what I always tell myself, since we're in the theme of copium today, sometimes it be like that, you know, and that sometimes it's just not going to go your way and it be like that.
This is an audio medium, but some people are watching on Twitch, and I made a face because...
What? Why did you make a face?
In the 4 days of doing this, that is the worst line I've heard.
Why? Why is that the worst line you've heard? We say it in my house all the time. Anytime he's pitching, hey, you know what? Sometimes, if it's a good thing, he has a great outing, awesome. Sometimes it be like that.
Doesn't matter how often you say it or your explanations for why you say it, it's still terrible.
It is the best line, and everybody who's listening right now is going to start using it. You're going to start using it, and you're going to hate it
never.
At first. You're going to hate it.
I will never say it.
It's going to be like 3 weeks from now. You'll be like, you know what? Sometimes it'd be like
that. Because after this week, I won't be watching that much Astros baseball because I don't have to.
Oh.
So there's no way I'll say it.
That's fair.
RJ,
you're going to think it randomly. You're just going to be doing dishes or something. You'll be like, sometimes it be like, and you're going to hate me all
over
again.
Don't try to earworm me if you say it so many times that it becomes a thing I don't forget. RJ,
hey.
You're always a deciding vote, RJ, when we disagree. I think it's terrible. He thinks it's great. What do you think?
I think it's
here we go.
Like innovative. However,
innovative,
I would not use it on air if it were me.
What? I wouldn't off Why? Air, on air, no air. It doesn't matter. I'd rather suffocate.
Like, I'm just saying, like, if you're like in a group of friends, like, and you say that, hey. And they're like annoyed, and you just laugh because you know it's an inside joke
See?
Between you and your boys. Yes, I'd use it because I'm that guy.
Yeah.
But on air, I would not. Not use that.
You both should have some shame. I wouldn't even finish.
Shame.
I wouldn't even finish
What is that?
Well, clearly.
Oh, look, all I'm saying is sometimes you say things on the air that you like. Sometimes you say things on the air that you don't like. But at the end of the day, sometimes it be like that.
I'm getting douche chills just listening to it.
Does it send shivers through your body every time?
It's the like kids these days. Since we're all old, not RJ. So
I love
us.
Every time anybody starts a sentence with "kids these days" because they're about to say the oldest thing.
I'm leaning.
Ever said
I'm just
life.
Leaning into what we talked about before. Yeah. Kids these days say the ick.
Yeah, but it gives you the ick.
Gives me the ick.
Hey, sometimes it be like that.
RJ. That's what the kids say, right?
That's what the kids say, yes. This is coming from a 28-year-old. Yeah. I don't use that.
I don't use it either. I know maybe some of our interns use it, possibly. But, yeah, the ick, the douche chills, cringe, all of those things
like
go together.
I don't like that second one at all. I'm fine with cringe
and
ick.
You don't like douche chills?
Yeah, I don't like that one. That one, that's my ick.
Well,
my kids use – so my favorite thing that I do, obviously I'm a great wordsmith, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite thing that I do is I like to use a lot of Gen Z terminology and slang with my
you
kids.
You say Zoomers all the
they
time?
They love it. So, yeah, with my Zoomers.
With your Zoomer kids?
They love it. They definitely don't get annoyed every time I start using Gen Z slang. So that ick is something that they say a lot.
Yeah, it's not something I will voice out loud. But you know, I'll text with someone and you kind of fall into their pattern. So if they say something, then you might text it back just because you know that's how they communicate. But it's not something I'm going to go around saying. I only say douche chills when those are induced and you induce.
That's
douche
fine.
Chills.
That's fine. I just look. Sometimes people are going to be happy with the things that you do. Sometimes people aren't going to be happy with it. You can't please everybody. And all you got to tell yourself, everybody, at the end of the day,
don't
whether you're watching the Astros, whether you're listening to me and Dell right now. Whether you're talking to your kids and trying to use their terminology, sometimes it be like that.
Is anyone pleased by that besides your family?
No, they're not pleased by it.
Why do you say
well,
it?
My wife.
I know why you say it to annoy people. But
my wife likes it, but she also likes annoying people.
Well, she likes you, so anything you say.
That's true. Yeah.
As long as it's not atrocious, she's probably going to like just because of your relationship. That's how I imagine marriage works. I'm never going to find
out. It's pretty nice. Yeah.
So you have your. Not your sidekick, but your supporter. That's always going to be with you. But me, it be like that.
Oh,
it's death.
No, that sounds so great. You said it, and it made me so happy. It made my heart skip a beat a little bit. I got butterflies.
You know
in
what
my
else
stomach.
Is going to make you feel good?
What?
Someone actually likes your sidekick thing. If your power is 2 to 3 minutes, going in reverse.
Of course they do. Why wouldn't they?
David says it's very valuable.
Yes. Yes, there's so 2-3 minutes. Imagine for the people who don't like what I just said, they could rewind time 2 or 3 minutes and remove it from their brains
until you repeat it. Because this whole
back
half of the segment has been about
it,
so they have to keep. Does it drain your powers? Like, can you do it all the time?
I can do it all the time. Yeah,
because you know some, like let's say Baby Yoda, Grogu, his powers at least initially when he used the Force, it drained him and he had to take a nap.
Yeah.
Now he's older. And he's got more control of the Force, so it doesn't affect him as much as anymore. You have unlimited control of the 2 to 3 minutes?
Yes.
Going backwards
I can just keep rewinding 2 minutes. Like, if it doesn't work out each time, just keep rewinding.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Still a trash power.
That's... You know what? That's fine.
I mean, it's all about teleportation for me.
Teleportation
superpower,
might be the weakest of
all
the superpowers.
No, you can get anywhere. Look, as long as you can picture the space, there's always a danger of you teleporting and being in the same space as someone else. And
that's
terrible.
A pole. You could teleport into a wall and get stuck.
I've never seen it in a comic book movie. Nightcrawler never teleported into a pole.
Shapeshifting is by far the number one most valuable superpower.
That's too gruesome.
Shapeshifting?
Like, you want to be a Skrull? Or Kree. Which one? We're getting into a very nerdy conversation. But Secret Invasion
more
is coming
like
out.
Mystique.
But Secret Invasion is coming out for Marvel. Their next. And Sam Jackson is a star of that as Nick Fury. You rather be Mystique. You can look like anyone.
Yeah. You could be anything. Anything that's real. I could become a panther or a bear or a bird or a person. Whatever I want.
I'm sticking with teleportation. I'm always about getting someplace when I want to as opposed to looking like something
else.
That's
actually fair.
Yes.
That's fair because sometimes you get in traffic and you have to be like, sometimes it'd be like that.
He only agreed with me so he can get to that drop again.
100%.
What an atrocious segment this became. Terrible.
You know you love it.
That's not true because I don't love much. I certainly don't love that. If that is not on this list of things I love.
DDLS. Dell doesn't like stuff.
It is a motto. I'm going to get a wristband. Like, what would Jesus do? You know, this entire show came about, at least in some regards, or at least some people believe this week came about because of something Jake said about Granato. And if you missed it, Jake said because Pat McAfee got a new deal that the money has to come from someplace and maybe Granato should not have a job anymore because he didn't want to lose his. Well, we found out someone who's actually being directly affected by Pat McAfee, and it's not Granato. We'll talk about that on the other side of the audition. We'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the audition with Del Olale and the guy vying to be his sidekick, Josh Beard.
Welcome back to the audition. Del, Josh, and RJ here with you. And we're joined by author, journalist, and contributor to ESPN, Scoop Jackson. He joins the show now. Scoop Jackson, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, thank you. I appreciate it. Appreciate it. How's everybody doing?
We're doing good. Thank you for joining us today.
No problem.
Sorry. When the Celtics and the Lakers were down 3-0 in the conference finals, the discussion turned to, okay, we're not getting this dream finals that everyone wants. Is this bad for the NBA? What does the NBA want? And what would the ratings be? Do you think the media partners who cover this sport do a good job focusing on other things beyond the teams and the giant media markets?
Well, that's a good question because I think the media partners, as it exists in this day and age, and it's kind of been that way for at least a generation, they're very, in my mind, topical as far as narratives are concerned. So I know numbers drive everything, but they're always going to look for what, you know, for their business purposes are going to, you know, drive the largest amount of eyes, drive the largest amount of interest in whatever it is they're producing. You know, that's part of what they do. They're interested in the business side of the game. The business side of the game is about the larger populace. So they're always going to put that at forefront because they think topical. Now, we learned from back in the day that these conversations have been had and the NBA didn't fall apart and the league didn't fall apart and when San Antonio was winning because they never wanted San Antonio in the finals. And every time San Antonio got to the finals, it became, oh, my God, you know, does the NBA want this? Does ESPN, ABC, NBA, whoever, you know, do they want this? Because the numbers are going to be bad. You know, when Detroit was winning, it's like, oh, my God, yeah, they're playing the Lakers, but does anybody want this? You know, there never seems to be an interest in smaller market teams from a business standpoint when you talk about the business partners. And what has happened over the years when smaller market teams have been involved in the finals or smaller market teams, you know, run their own little dynasties, the league doesn't fall apart. So, you know, it's interesting to me while these conversations still go on, it's just become the norm and it really just is chatter. And, you know, I don't believe professional sports are going to actually alter everything to make the numbers happen. I think that they let it build interest and it plays out the way it plays out. They'd like to have, you know, L.A. Boston situation because that's worked for them in the past. But I also think they're open to, you know, a new sexier version of, you know, not the most sexiest version, but a new sexy version of what could be something that gains public interest. And, you know, Golden State was not a big, they've never been a big major market team. But over the years, they drew interest globally. And then it became a big draw. We don't know what's going to happen with Denver. Denver could, like, catch the public attention of people globally because people may fall in love with Joker watching him on the final stage. You know, Jamal Murray could do some spectacular thing and play like Dwayne Wade did when he was going up against Dallas, and all of a sudden his fan base increases. You know, something could happen with Michael Porter Jr. There others, you know, could gain much interest. And all of a sudden we have a team in a small market, much like Golden State, that can gain public interest, and all of a sudden the conversation disappears because a small market team has gained a large public interest. You know, and the same thing, I mean, Miami's Miami, but I don't know if that's going to happen with Miami, but we could watch the same thing happen. So while the conversation comes up, I don't think there's a need to panic or, you know, further the conversation. And just keep in mind that this is what the media partners automatically are going to do because all they're looking for at this point is numbers, and their minds are always going to be on the business side, the immediate business side of the game, and sometimes they don't think long term.
I think to that point too, there are storylines. Let's live in a world and assume that Miami is the team that makes it to the finals. Do you think that these media companies, do you think these brands, these people that are doing the marketing, do you think they do a good enough job or should do a better job of swerving into things like last time, you know, Joker obviously has beef with Miami because he blindsided somebody from behind. They've had issues with each other, and so the Nuggets and the Heat may not typically be two teams that they would want to see in the finals against each other. But do you think they do a good enough job of leaning into the storylines like that, or do you think that they could do a better job of building on things like that?
Here's the thing. That's a good question that's a really good question. I think there's two answers to the question. I think from a broadcast standpoint, strictly from a broadcast standpoint that's connected to the game, I think they do a decent job of creating those storylines, because most times those storylines are game related. And when I say, those that are close to the game, I'm talking about the actual broadcast of the game, the announcers and the sideline reporters and those that are reporting on the games as we see the game play out live, in the moment. Now, the conversation exterior from that, the morning talk shows, the radio shows, no disrespect to you all, but the radio shows are going through that. Those that are not connected to the game, not connected to the broadcast, we create a secondary dialogue that I think a lot of times has nothing to do with the game. So the question you ask is, do I think they do a good job? I think the broadcast, those that are involved in the broadcast of the game, do a decent job of creating game-related storylines. It's the outside noise that a lot of times is much larger and louder than what the broadcasts do. I think we do a horrible job because we just create stuff out the side of our, necks and ears and mouths. We just create anything that we think is going to, whatever. We don't even know what it's going to do. We want eyes, clicks, and interest. And if anything's going to spark something, even if we make it up, we'll throw it out there for conversation and for narrative. And I don't think that's really a good job for, the nature of staying true to what the game is going to be about or the series is going to be about.
He's an accomplished author, journalist, and a contributor to ESPN.com. Scoop Jackson joins the audition here on ESPN 97.5. Do you think we all should accept that when we watch a show before a game, that actual breaking down of basketball is not what we're going to see? Because there are mediums, whether it be podcast or YouTube, right, or wherever it is, that will break down sets and plays. And I know people beg for, why aren't they talking more basketball? Is that just something that's gone by the wayside? You're just going to have to – do you think that's just something you find someplace else and a TV show is being done, not really analyzing basketball? That's what those pregame shows are for.
Yeah, I think we have to have an understanding that while this is what we love, that they can't get too inside basketball because they're going to lose the general fan. And the general fan, from this standpoint, once you start watching the game, is what drives the market. We're really going to get generalistic conversation about the game because those of us who are diehards, we should never look to the broadcast for that depth of knowledge. We have to look elsewhere because – as much as we love basketball or baseball or football, those of us that are really, really, really into the sport, when you see these crazy numbers of millions and millions of people that are watching it, and why advertisers like during the Super Bowl are paying like $1 million for 10 seconds of airtime, that's not us that is generating that millions of dollars to care about the game like that. So they are, servicing a much larger audience. So the information that we're getting there is going to be, more towards somebody that's not in opposition. So for us to look for that would be kind of bad. But if we look across the areas of sport, the areas of just entertainment, like if I am a doctor, and I have to understand that this is real, what we're watching in sports, but it's still a form of entertainment. And what we're looking for is non-entertainment, and their job is to entertain people. But if I'm a surgeon, I'm not watching, Grey's Anatomy, looking for something that I'm going to get, on somewhere else that deals with what I deal with as a physician. This is not the place to look for it. But Grey's Anatomy, they do talk to doctors. They have doctors on staff. They try to get as close to the process as possible. But if I'm an actual physician, that's not the place I'm going to live because they're still trying to entertain. The same rule of thumb applies to sports, even though it's real and it's not scripted. But it's still their job is to entertain, not necessarily educate 24/7. If we want education, we can't, those of us that are diehard, we can't expect the, you know, broadcast and the national media to educate us because their job is to, you know, entertain the masses, not us.
Yeah, if we realize they're performers, they're playing somewhat of a part, not clearly not the game, not the players, but the people leading us into those games, I think we all be a lot better off. They're putting on a show and realize it's a show. And then if you want to ask actual analysis of any sport, you go someplace else for that. I guess moving on from the media aspect of it, watching these playoffs, we hear people announce Jokic, the best player in the world, or Jimmy Butler's the best playoff performer in the world. When you're watching games that matter, who do you like focus on? If there are two games on at the same time, whatever that decision is, who are the teams, who are the players you like watching play?
That's a good question. It depends on who it is, you know, because sometimes it's not the players, it's the team. You know, and I'm one of those guys that is one of those inside guys. So I like to see what the coaches are doing. I like to see the adjustments that they make from quarter to quarter. You know, I like to see especially what's being done on the defensive side of things and who the defensive specialists are and how the teams move, you know, systematically, you know, defensively and what schemes are going to set. So, very rarely do I just focus on, like, one player, try to see who the best player is. Now, here's it, and I answer this way. In the case of Miami, you know, watching Jimmy Butler over the course of this playoff run that they're making is amazing. You know, I'm saying I got to see what Jimmy's going to do and what type of impact he's going to have on these games because I've been very, very critical of Jimmy in the past about, like, his philosophy when it comes to what his responsibility is as a basketball player throughout the playoffs. You know, but I still want to watch him because when he's, you know, implying and imposing his will on another team, it's a beautiful thing to see. But while I'm watching that, I'm also paying attention to what Bam is doing because, to me, Bam is the most important player on the Miami Heat. Where he goes, they'll go. If Bam plays well, it's very hard to beat Miami. You know, and just the series that they're in right now against the Celtics, if you throw out Game 3 because Boston was shell-shocked in Game 3, you look at Bam's numbers in the games that they did win, you know, and look at the numbers and what he did in Game 4. And you realize, oh, okay, you know, throw Game 3 out as an outlier, but when Bam gives you his regular 20, you know, 8 and 9 rebounds, when he's engaged, they win. But the last game, I think he had 10 and 3, something like that, and that's why they got beat. So while I want to look at Jimmy Butler, I'm looking at also other things that I think are going to other players that I think can have a direct effect on the game. So I'm paying attention to – I try to pay attention to more than one thing at the same time because, you know, very rarely in basketball do you get one player who's responsible for a team's success, whether it be in a series or whether it be in a game. So I'm looking for a lot of other things, but it's never just one player I really, really want to pay attention to. Like even when Mike was winning championships, I was paying so much attention to what Scottie Pippen was doing because defensively, especially when they were like playing the Knicks or Miami, and you have games that are in the, like, high 80s and low 90s. And, yes, Michael's scoring 30 points, but it's Scottie Pippen holding Anthony Mason to 9 points below his average or holding John Starks to, like, 3 points or having to have a bad shooting night or, you know, him playing, Timmy Hardaway at point and then going down at the end of the game and guarding the lines of morning, guarding everybody from 1 to 5. You know, those were the little things that won the game. So I was always paying attention to both.
I'm glad you brought that up because I think there's a couple of guys that I've been watching throughout this playoffs that it's, you know, with Denver, everybody's talking about Joker and what he can do and oh, he's a consummate MVP. But I'm looking at Jamal Murray and saying, okay, Jamal Murray has done some stuff to prove to people who he was before he got hurt. And I look at all these different teams and some of these role players, some of these sidekicks. Who do you think, out of all these teams in the playoffs, especially the two big ones that everybody, you know, wants to talk about in Denver and Miami right now,
right.
What role player or sidekick do you think has meant the most to their team throughout the playoffs so far?
That's a great question. Because Miami has had it seems like every game somebody else over the course of this run has stepped up, you know, whether it's, you know, Gabe steps up or Max steps up or, you know, Kyle Lowry steps up. You know, Twin has been playing amazing basketball, you know, from game to game. You know, they just seem to have somebody just come up. Duncan, you know, has come up. So it's a collective of Miami that has been interesting to me that you never know who it's going to be. And I'm thinking that must be impossible for an opposing coach to, you know, key in on over the course of getting prepared for the game from a defensive standpoint. Like, I know the whiteboard of, you know, what's going on in Boston and you know, what went on in New York had to be crazy because you never knew what next guy was going to step up for Miami. You know, you never knew that. So, you know, their whiteboard is probably crazy and every game is something different because you can't scheme for who's going to have the big game and somebody always seems to come up and it's never consistent. It's always somebody else. With Denver, that guy for me is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He's that guy. And I don't know in this series, well, in the series prior to that, it's because the Lakers let him go. You know, but I think he's that guy that if you really want to see who can tip the scales, who's going to have an impact on a game that has nothing to do with stats, nothing to do with data, that his team feel, that he's the one that at the end of the day, his teammates inside that locker room are going to walk up and say thank you to. It's Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He's that guy for them.
That's Scoop Jackson, journalist, author, and contributor at ESPN.com. I was talking to my producer on how to explain saying your Twitter handle because it's OG, then the Roman numeral 3, so triple I Scoop. OG triple I Scoop is his Twitter account if you want to follow him there. Scoop, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you. Enjoy tonight's game.
Anytime, fellas. Appreciate you having me on. Talk soon.
Thank you. Thank you. Scoop Jackson of ESPN.com joins the show. Thank you, RJ, for getting that done for us. We got a couple more segments to go on the audition. By the way, want to remind you, Josh will be here tomorrow as well. So we'll have to deal with copium and it be like that for a whole other show. So that's how it be sometimes. I can't believe
you almost did it again. It's stuck in there, earworm, baby.
But I caught myself because some of us have standards. We'll be back on the other side.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. The audition continues on ESPN 97.5. Listen as these guys suck up to Dell for a chance at stardom. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Dell and today's suck-up, Josh Beard.
This will be a short one. We went a little long with Scoop Jackson. Once again, thank you for joining us. By you, I meant him, not you guys listening. You take it or leave it with you guys. But it's not a great way to talk to people who are listening to your show. Hey, this is why
I just want to let it be known that RJ and I do not share the views of Dell on the audition this morning.
Once again, doing things not to help your cause when you're disagreeing with me. But
isn't that what we're supposed to do?
No,
people have been they're like, oh, Dell's getting fired up today.
All I heard is a voice guy saying you're supposed to suck up. That's all I heard. But I did want to get to this because I threw to it before we got to Scoop Jackson. I just forgot that he was on. That's on me. I'm taking the blame, unlike Jimbo would. We talked about this, at least this has been a running theme this week because people are concerned that the guys from the bench aren't here, and I always tell them, do you think a show called The Audition would openly talk about tryouts to replace them, the bench? Is that a likely scenario for people?
Hold on. Do people actually think that?
From what I can tell, whether it be a message directed at one of John or Lance or on Twitter, people are concerned that a show that openly called itself The Audition is possibly taking the place of the bench.
Well, first of all, John and Lance are both irreplaceable. So
well,
let me say that.
That's strong, but it would be.
It is my job to suck up right now.
Not
so,
to them.
So
to me.
John and Lance are irreplaceable. I would never come in here and try to replace either one of the two of them. But yeah, no. No show would come in to another show's time slot, call themselves The Audition.
Because
do you understand how much drama is caused in this industry, everybody? There's drama all throughout this industry. The last thing you want to do is openly create that drama. It's all secret. It's done behind the scenes.
Yeah, you'll be in on a Friday and out on a Monday. They wouldn't announce it to the world. That's not how it works.
Yeah, it'd be a Friday news dump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, that's how it would go. No, I'm not replacing them. This show isn't replacing them. I can't speak to their future because I don't care enough to look into it, but it won't be me in their spot. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to repeat what I've done the first 3 days. I'll save that for Friday, but I have this whole spiel about who makes money and why they make money and why they're safe.
Yeah.
And it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Just listen to the show.
Yeah. It's not hard.
And you can figure out who's bringing in money. That's all it is. Notice I haven't done a live spot, which means I'm not bringing in any money, so I'm not replacing anyone.
I have done the equivalent of a live spot, but it's more just me telling the general public all of my amazing sayings that they should take within their own lives.
Amazing is doing a lot of work there.
Well, I feel like
the initial reason for the show was they went on vacation. But
yeah,
the thought process for some people was something's going on, and why people thought that is because that show had a back and forth with The Wheelhouse, particularly Jake Asman, because he said at one point that because Pat McAfee was coming aboard ESPN, as if ESPN National has anything to do with the financials of this place. By the way, that's another thing. They're not that connected. There's just a branding thing going on here. I'm getting really inside radio. Yeah. But I'm just trying to explain to people that they're not even connected. But it became a thing because Jake said John should maybe should lose his job or not get paid as much. And John, oddly enough, took offense and called the mothers of that show whores. Something like that.
I love this.
Yes. So that's the back and forth
that's
going
fun.
On. But there's some actual news regarding Pat McAfee and him going to ESPN is actually going to affect someone, but it won't be Granato. It apparently will be Max Kellerman.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
You don't like Max?
No, that's what I'm saying. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
That's
awful. It's horrible. I love Max Kellerman.
I sense sarcasm.
Definitely don't hate any and everything that he says ever at all about anything sports. It's fine.
I don't sense sincerity. I sense.
Oh, I'm very sincere.
I sense a bit of, Max, take him or leave him. That's what I'm sensing.
I'll just say this. There's one person I refuse to watch at all for any reason, and there's another person I make sure to turn on YouTube almost every single day to at least catch a little bit of it. That's all I'm saying.
So what you're saying is you go to ESPN.com and watch Max Kellerman clips and make sure Pat McAfee is nowhere on your screen.
100%.
Okay,
exactly
where you're going to hate this.
You do a good job of reading between the lines, man.
I'm better at analyzing people than you are. Well, you're going to hate this part because apparently Front Office Sports is saying that Max Kellerman's show, This Just In, will be the victim of the Pat McAfee hire. Now, apparently that's not the only person who's going to take a hit because ESPN, according to Front Office Sports, is looking to trim $30 million in salary by the end of June. That's not that far away, and that's a lot of cash. But Pat McAfee is the main reason why apparently This Just In won't be around anymore. I've never seen the show, mostly because I don't watch ESPN for anything but the actual sports content. Yeah. I don't watch them for their talk shows. It's just not what I'm interested in. But Max Kellerman allegedly taking a big hit because Pat McAfee and all that money ESPN is going to pay him. They need to cut salary and that. I don't know if
$30 million.
They need to cut $30
million. $30
million. Or they're looking. I don't know if they need to, but they want to.
ESPN, I'm 30,000. I could do it. I could do 70% of what Pat McAfee does at 1% of the cost. I'm just saying, if you're talking about numbers and efficiency, I'm your guy.
Yeah, that's going to be a hard sell for you, I think. Good luck. I guess
I'll walk in there and if they tell me no, I'll be like, sometimes it'd be like that. And they'll be like, never mind. Hired. You're in instantly.
What a terrible.
Yeah.
What a.
No,
I don't like that becoming like a part of the show.
Oh, it's not a part of the show. It's just a part of all of our lives.
It's a part of your life.
No, it's a part of your life now.
It ain't a part of my life.
Yeah. It is now.
I have a remarkable ability to forget people pretty quickly. And their sayings, definitely.
Good luck with that. People have tried forgetting me for years.
I don't even remember what your last name is. So trust me, it'll be easy. Don't worry about it. It'll be easy. We started this show with finding out what Josh's comfort shows were. You can find that on Josh Beard Radio to take a look at them. We're going to wrap up the show because that's how things go. Nature's healing. And we're going to talk about some actual good shows. RJ's going to come with his comfort shows. I'll come with a couple myself. And if I don't think Frazier will make it onto either of our lists, but maybe there's some overlap between what Josh likes and what RJ and I like. I'm not putting bets on it, but we'll find that out on the other side. Final segment of the show, the audition. Dell, Josh, and RJ. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Audition with Del Olale, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now here's Del and today's teacher's pet, Josh Beard.
Just a couple more minutes before the Paul Gallant show begins. And
my guy, Paul, have you ever heard my Paul Gallant impersonation?
Isn't that what it was just there?
That's close.
Yeah.
It's real close. Hey, I'm Paul Gallant. Oh, Tom Brady. I love Tom Brady. Oh, the Astros. Huh? What? Oh, I don't really like... Alex Brink's not doing great right now. Oh, I'm Paul Gallant.
It's not bad. I won't fight you on that. It's not bad.
It's a good one. It's a solid Paul Gallant.
We do have some breaking news, and I'll get more... I chuckle when I said Paul's name, not because he's that funny, or but I will get into why I chuckled in a bit. Breaking news from the NBA. Gabe Vincent, starting point guard for the Heat, will not play tonight. So if that potential 0-3 comeback was burbling in your mind and maybe you want to put some money on a potential Boston historic comeback, there's another feather in your cap to think about it, or at least another feather in Boston's cap, because the Heat starting point guard won't play tonight with an already, you know, injury-depleted backcourt with no Oladipo, no Hero, who despite now shooting and working out a little bit, is still no contact. So at this point, he won't play tonight. If it stretches to seven, maybe. But yeah, the expectation would be for him is if they make it to the finals, he would come back. But the Heat will probably start Kyle Lowry and maybe only play a couple guards off the bench. They still play eight or nine guys anyway, and they'll probably still do that. It'll just mean more minutes for Caleb Martin as a secondary ball handler. Maybe Jimmy plays the entire night. We'll see. Or maybe plays ups his minutes to make up for the lack of a starting point guard. But they do have a starting point guard who was starting for most of the year, but they went on the run when Kyle Lowry went to the bench. So having a $30 million backup point guard isn't great because that's not how you want to dispense your money.
Right.
But
it's not the most efficient use of funds.
But he is an accomplished player who's had up and down moments in this series, but he's had a pretty good playoff run, so he'll slide into the starting lineup. So yeah, that goes. I didn't want to get to comfort shows because we started the show with Josh's comfort shows, and neither I nor RJ could say that we really were locked in on his picks.
Yeah.
I asked RJ to pick a couple. He has done so, and I have done so as well. We'll see if there's any overlap.
There's got to be overlap.
Myself and RJ. Certainly not between myself
There's Josh. Shrinking. There's already overlap. But that wasn't shrinking.
You said it was too new to be a comfort show.
So comfort show. Let me define comfort show. It's the show that I put on and watch because it makes me happy when I'm doing all sorts of other stuff, playing video games, cooking. That's what comfort show is to me. So shrinking is one of those that like I like to sit and actually watch it. I've only watched through it once. Once I've watched it like five or six times, it'll get added to the comfort show list.
Understood.
It'll probably be number one or two.
Oh, that good. Yeah, it is. It's a really, really good show. We'll see how season two goes. Season one ended on something that feels like Jason Segel's character's going to have to deal with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Because of his, let's just say it's his eccentric way of doing therapy. Well, you call it careless. I say eccentric.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I like that better.
RJ, you got a couple shows?
Yeah, so my couple shows, because I just had too many. I'll give you my core four. My Wife and Kids, The Bernie Mac Show, King of Queens, and Everybody Loves Raymond. I'll give you my four.
Interesting. King of Queens and Everybody Loves Raymond. I did not see those, but I like those. I've been told since I was in high school that I remind people of Kevin James pretty much my entire life.
I could see it, particularly with the facial hair.
Yeah.
I could see that. I can see that. I have a couple, and we do have some. We don't have any overlap. I thought we might. I do like Everybody Loves Raymond. It was on when I came home from school in its rerun format.
Yep.
So I watched that. But Seinfeld, love it. always. I'd never watched it live. Like, I never watched it first run. I always watched it as a show that was in rerun. We go The Good Place.
Good show. Great show.
Love Kristen Bell. Top five.
Yeah.
She, as far as TV actresses, she's a top five.
My wife has been called the brunette Kristen Bell before.
Does she, is she multi-talented? Sing, act, dance?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Very cool.
Very multi-talented.
We mentioned the show before, The Chappelle Show. That is legit one of the things I can watch at any point and still laugh, and we're talking 20-plus years that of comedy.
That one probably should be somewhere on my list because I haven't watched it in a while, but there was a time where I watched it constantly, and I just watch it over and over and over. That one's probably, like, not comfort shows, but all-time favorite comedy shows. That one's definitely in my top five or top ten.
And a new one that probably hasn't gotten a lot of attention anywhere unless you're just a sicko like me who just likes watching all the TV he can. Ghost, the UK version. There's a version of it on CBS that is new, but it's weird because they're both going on at the same time. Normally, the US version picks up after the UK version has ended. Ghost is already had season four broadcast in Europe, hasn't come to HBO Max yet, but it's a show, much like it sounds. A woman inherits a home, and the ghosts don't want her there, so they're like, it's a comedy, so they're not actually trying to kill her. But they're like, what if we scare her? And
I was about to ask, how's that a comfort show? Because it didn't sound.
It's a 30-minute comedy. The ghosts are silly and they're not really vindictive, but they say, you know what? Maybe if we push her out a window, she'll leave or die so we can have this house to ourselves. And like, they scare her, but it's on accident, and she falls and bumps her head, and now she can see ghosts. She's the only one who can see them, and so she has to deal with the consequences. You know, it's a slapstick and all that stuff. It's the UK version of the show. There is a CBS version going on right now that I haven't seen much of. So those are my four. Those are shows that I can watch at any point and go, all right, I can do what I want, maybe because I work from home, watch those shows, and everything will be good. And that's how we wrap up the audition. Paul Galanza. Oh, yeah, the final thing before we go. Sorry, Paul. So I was announcing the lineup yesterday just to tell everybody who was coming up next. I said Paul Gallant's up next. Then it's the Killer Bees. Then it's the Wheelhouse. And I stopped. And apparently that's a problem because I didn't mention Patrick Creighton.
Yeah.
And he heard and he tweeted about it. And he goes, thanks for the shout out to Dell shouting out this show. But he forgot about this show, and he did the whole Rodney Dangerfield no respect. I think he even put up a GIF. Sorry, man. And that's not even that sincere. I'm not sorry. But I will say, if it makes you feel better, it wasn't me ignoring you. It was me forgetting you.
Yeah.
I don't know which one is better for you, but it wasn't an attempt to screw you over. I just didn't remember.
ADHD makes me forget people all the time. It's crazy. If you're not in front of my face all the time, I'll forget you exist.
And I can't say it's ADHD. I just didn't think of
it. No, just ride the ADHD.
No.
Hey, you know what you should say sometimes? It'd be like
no,
that.
No. I don't think I'm making it better by telling him I didn't think about him, but that's the case. And I'm now late. Sorry, Paul. Paul Gallant's up next. The audition has one more day. Josh and I will be back tomorrow with RJ. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Alexa, turn off.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.